You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Joining us now, Dr. Michael Sagg from UAB's Infectious Disease Department to talk a little bit more about where we are with coronavirus, the vaccines, and the meds that are seeming to be working more and more to beat it down, if in fact you do get coronavirus. Doctor, welcome back in. Good to have you in.
Great to be back with you, JT.
So, first of all, let's talk about the numbers. We're hearing that it's starting to level off again, which is good news. What are you seeing at UAB and some surrounding areas?
Yeah, I think we do have good news. It's like Mickey Ferguson giving you a good weather report. Numbers are coming down. Our hospitalization numbers are down. The number of people in the ICU on ventilators is down. So I think we are indeed coming out of this. I don't think it's quite time to let our guard down. We did that back in June and got hit hard in July and August. But I think we do have encouraging news on a lot of fronts, as you alluded to, but certainly on the numbers front.
You know, here we are halfway through football season, and you've seen college stadiums packed, and I've been in them a couple of times as well this season. And I haven't really heard much about a mass wave of coronavirus outbreaks because of that.
Yeah, and to be honest, that surprised me a little bit because we had this big outbreak going on in September, and the numbers, I think as I shared on your show, would indicate that out of, say, 100,000 people in a stadium, there could be 700 to 1,000 people who were infected at that moment in time. And so outdoor venues appear to be relatively safe. I think that's what we learned from this. And I think also we're starting to see an uptick in vaccinated folks, which is great. We need to continue that. So I think all this put together is did lead to that outcome. I'm sure there are some people who probably got infected at a stadium, but it's not like a super spreader event that we can track back to going to a football game.
Yeah, some good news there. What about going into colder temperatures? As you heard, Mickey said we're going to be in the 40s by this weekend for the lows. And as we get through fall and get into winter, more and more people will be staying inside and not getting out as much, not as much sunshine. Could we see an uptick during the winter months, or do you think we're on a trajectory to stay where we are and moving in the right direction?
The honest answer, JT, is I don't know. But theoretically, as you said, when people go indoors, they don't get out as much. I just commented about being outdoors is relatively safer for sure. But the bottom line is that I think that the numbers are coming down to a point that, let's say, by Thanksgiving, hopefully we won't have enough critical mass, enough people who are infected to create yet another surge unless a new variant comes along. And we don't see that on the horizon just now. So I'm cautiously optimistic. The one thing, as we talked about last year, is the combination of flu coming back along with coronavirus. And that's something we got to keep an eye on. So, you know, I sound like I'm a broken record regarding vaccines, but we need to have both a coronavirus vaccine for sure, and then a flu vaccine, and that'll have the best chance of keeping us safe through the winter.
Continuing our conversation with Dr. Michael Sagg. Doctor, let's talk about the booster here for a second. I recently had a physical, and my doctor said, yeah, get the vaccine for the flu, you know, in October sometime. He says, I'm going to do it then. And as far as the booster shot, he says, yeah, go ahead and get it. It's recommended for 65 and older. I'm 63. So he says, yeah, you can get the booster. Hadn't been approved at the time for the Moderna booster. It's there now, I think. And but I said, well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. The Pfizer vaccine has been approved. If I got the Moderna vaccine, is it okay to cross over there into that and get their booster, or should I wait? And he goes, yeah, you can probably do it, but I'd wait and see when the Moderna comes out. Shouldn't be too long. So your thoughts on the boosters and mixing and matching, mixing and mashing together different companies, and when people ought to get the booster.
Yeah, your doctor gave you great advice, JT, because just this week, a lot of data came out. So yesterday, there was a study that hadn't been peer-reviewed, but it looks fantastic, where they've taken anyone who had any one of the original series, Pfizer, Moderna, or Janssen, and then gave groups of them either one of those three vaccines. So there's 9 groups in total. The bottom line is mixing works pretty well. And the one vaccine that just didn't quite perform as well as the other was the Janssen. So if you had Janssen, I think they're going to review these data today at the FDA. And I think what they're going to say is that if you had Janssen back in the spring, go
ahead.
You
mean Johnson & Johnson, right?
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson. Sorry, same company. My bad.
Right.
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson. If you get that, if you had that in the spring, go ahead and get boosted with either Moderna or Pfizer. That's going to be a recommendation, I'm pretty sure. So that's good news. And then the other part that I think your doctor was wise in telling you to hold off a bit, because the Moderna recommendation that came out yesterday says to use a half a dose from what was originally used. So they used 100 micrograms on the 2 original prime shots that back in the spring. For the booster right now, they're recommending 50 micrograms, so half. Pfizer is going to be the same at about 30 micrograms for the prime and the booster. But you can mix and match, and it's safe. There's not a large number of people in the study because it was so many different arms, but it really, really performed well. So this is the news we've been waiting for, and it's perfect timing for the show this morning.
Okay, well, let me ask you about how long after that shot. You said spring, now it's fall, go ahead. Is it 3, 4, 5, 6 months, or should you have your antibodies tested first before you jump into the booster?
Don't waste your time and money on an antibody. It's they say that after about 3 to 4 months, we start to see the antibodies fall in most everyone. So the booster should be given about 6 months, at least 6 months after the original shots. And so for a lot of people, that's coming up right now. You could wait out to 8 months if you're a healthy person. That's going to be mostly recommended for those over the age of 65. If you're between 50 and 65 and you've got some underlying conditions, then you go ahead and get it now. And they're going to probably recommend, like last time, for any person who's at high risk of exposures, like first responders, healthcare workers, and the like. So I think that's where we're headed. And just one final comment. In the big picture, coronavirus is going to be with us for at least another 3 to 5 and maybe 10 years. So we just got to start absorbing this. Everyone should just get vaccinated. If you're resistant, the safety data is incredible. So this thing works really well. And after suffering through as a healthcare worker, watching people die again in the hospital, the majority of whom, 90%+, were not vaccinated. That's tragic.
Right. Well, Doctor, I appreciate your help on all of this and helping guide us through this. And good news, half the dose on the booster. I'll have to talk to my provider on that one. I agree with you there. That's good news to hear you're not getting the full dose. Dr. Michael Sagg, thank you so much.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.